Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We continue our conversation on confession and absolution, confession and forgiveness. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. I know that it is a foreign concept to many of us, the idea that we would actually confess our sins together as Christians out loud, that we might even go to a pastor privately and confess those sins that particularly trouble our consciences out loud. Even more astounding that we would hear that pastor, either when it's a corporate confession or a private confession, speak the words of Christ by his command, "I forgive you all your sins." Those words are intended to comfort the sinner, the troubled conscience that we carry with us as those who break God's law. They are intended to comfort us with the perfect obedience, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ as our substitute. Really, we ought to be anxious to hear those words. We continue our conversation on confession and absolution. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. You're invited to join us with your questions or comments. Everyone who calls or emails us will get a copy of the pamphlet called Confession and Absolution, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or email us issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Pastor Bender, welcome back.
Good to be back.
This is an email from Jeff in McKinney, Texas. He writes, "I'm a member of a conservative Presbyterian church where we begin our services with a hymn, followed by a reading from the law, a time of corporate and private confession, a reading from the gospel, and then our pastor tells us that if we believe the gospel that we have just heard, that our sins are truly forgiven. We hear our pastor pronounce Christ's absolution. Pastor Bender, do you consider this sufficient or an equivocation?" Your thoughts there, Pastor Bender. It's a good question.
Well, I think that I'd like not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ and God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved, you know, St. Paul says. So the trouble is sometimes if someone asks you, are you certain of your salvation, and you say yes, and then they ask you why, well, because I believe, then the devil is able to attack your believing. As opposed to if you say, are you certain? Yes. Why? Because Christ has died for my sins, and Christ has forgiven me all my sins. The devil can't attack that because it's objective. And that's the benefit of not relying upon your believing, but relying upon the word that you hear, that you believe, okay. Namely the word of absolution.
Let me make sure I have this straight. The difference you're talking about there is the difference between someone who is assured because of their own subjective experience of believing, their own conviction,
correct,
something like that, those ideas,
yes,
as opposed to someone who is assured because of the objective fact of Christ's atoning work for him as a sinner at the cross.
That's correct. Christ's objective atoning work that is proclaimed in the word of absolution. And that's powerful against Satan. See, that's the point. It's not as if there's something wrong with what he's hearing in his church. If you believe in Christ, you have the certainty that your sins are forgiven. It's not that that's untrue, but there's room within that for Satan to attack your faith in a way that he can't with the sturdy, objective, external word of the gospel that's proclaimed to you. And the other benefit that comes from confessing then privately, where you actually name your sins to your pastor, is that it has a crucifying effect to the flesh when that sin is brought out into the light of day. It's a killing of the old Adam, a crucifying of the flesh, a putting off of the old Adam, which is then fertile soil for the word of the gospel, then to be heard and to bear fruit.
Well, earlier in our previous conversation, you answered the question, what went wrong in the Roman Catholic Church with regard to the practice of confession and absolution? And you said, well, they went wrong first and foremost because they went wrong on the gospel. They understood the gospel as man's work to appease God rather than God's work to atone for the sins of man in his son, Jesus Christ.
Right.
So turning from the Roman Catholics to mainline churches, a question that came from an emailer, Earl, in Fresno, California, that we didn't get to in the last hour: why are other mainline churches not continuing the practice, the historic practice, we should say, of confession and absolution?
I think because the devil vigorously opposes it. Where confession and absolution has been practiced, there has been a spiritual revival in the individuals who have received it and the congregations that have had the practice. And that's something that the devil just simply does not want to happen. And one of the ways in which I teach about the treasures of absolution, to see it in the freedom of the gospel, is to see it as a logical, natural extension of the church's preaching of the gospel. So that just as I preach the gospel sometimes on a Sunday morning to several hundred people that are gathered in the congregation, so I preach that gospel to smaller groups in catechesis classes or in Bible classes, and so I preach the gospel to those troubled Christians who come to me individually and their consciences are plagued. And pastors who have practiced private confession and absolution themselves and have then offered it to their congregations tend to have a much more vigorous kind of preaching, not because they're divulging sins confessed to them, that's never to be done, but they learn to understand more intimately the struggles that people truly have in their hearts that are known only to them. And when those struggles come out and those sins are confessed, the pastor himself gets an education on sin and the depth of sin. And that's a good thing, so that he might plumb the depths of the gospel and learn through the experience of having to comfort troubled Christians the wonders of the gospel. And that makes him a better preacher.
Okay, Pastor Bender, maybe it occurred to me when you were talking just then that someone might still be left with the false impression, and that is that the pastor can hear corporate confession or private confession because he's in kind of that objective position. He doesn't sin as much, or maybe he can forgive because he's holier in some way than the person who's confessing their sins. Is that what Christ envisions when he gives his disciples the authority to forgive sins in his name 1 minute before our break?
Absolutely not. Peter, the apostle, was as big a sinner as any of us. He was arrogant. He was proud. He was self-reliant. But he was sincere so much of the time. And he denied his Lord. And he was plunged into spiritual chaos over that. And his conscience was plagued. And Jesus, in the resurrection appearances, spoke a word of absolution to him by saying, "Feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs." And that reinstated that fallen sinner to his office. No, the best pastors are those who themselves are forgiven sinners. And you can't be a pastor unless you are a forgiven sinner and continually rely on the forgiveness of sins yourself as a pastor.
When we come back from this break, you know, you walk into church, you meet the pastor, you shake his hand, you've developed a good relationship with this guy. You're on a good, even keel with your pastor. Things seems to be going well. He smiles when he sees you. And then you hear this stuff about confessing your sins to your pastor privately. You might be wondering whether or not you're going to ruin the relationship if he knew what you thought or said or did, if he knew what kind of a sinner you were. I can understand the hesitancy to air your so-called dirty laundry with your pastor. It's a big objection, isn't it? I don't want the pastor to know what I've been thinking or saying or doing. When we come back from this break, Pastor Peter Bender will respond to that objection. Pastor Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. 1-800-730-2727 is our call-in number. 1-800-730-2727. The faculty of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is coming this summer to a city near you. It's part of the continuing education programs offered by Concordia Theological Seminary. Speakers include Issues Etc. regular guests Larry Rast, Carl Fikencher, Arthur Just, Peter Scare, and others. Find out about the continuing education programs sponsored by Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, for both lay people and pastors. Visit our website, issuesetc.org, or call 260-452-2241. Law and Gospel in Today's Culture, Paul and His Opponents in Galatia, The Gospel of Mark, The Care of Souls, Christology in the Book of Revelation. These are just some of the topics. For more information on dates, locations, speakers, and topics, call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 260-452-2241, or look for their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And our new level, the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We're talking about confession and absolution. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, live this Sunday night, May the 20th, issuesetc@kfuo.org. How do you deal with this objection, Pastor Bender? You know, your parishioner has a great relationship with you. He doesn't want to spoil it by airing his dirty laundry in front of you. And you know he's got to be thinking, if Pastor only knew what I thought, what I said, what I did when I'm not in church, or even sometimes when I am in church.
Well, that is a very common kind of feeling. And it goes back to the Garden of Eden. We all like to get the fig leaves out and cover over our shame and dress up, so to speak, so that what we really are, what we really have done or become, is not known. And I think that we just need to continue to be vigilant to teach our people that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul, ironically, was well served by the fact that he had been such an insolent man and a persecutor of the church. And he holds himself up as an example to those to whom he ministered. If God can save the likes of me, then he can save you. And I think it's incumbent upon pastors to teach their people in such a way that they're constantly reminded of the fact that their pastor is a sinner too. And he is saved by grace alone and not by any works of his own doing. And that, like the Apostle Paul, in that passage I had mentioned earlier from Romans 7, He has those same struggles too. The good that I would, I do not do, and that which I would not is the very thing that I do. And the only help for us wretched men is Christ Jesus, the righteous man. And I think those types of themes need to be accentuated over and over again. And finally, if the pastor is going to hear confessions privately, the deepest struggles and sins of his parishioners, it is absolutely essential that the pastor himself go to another brother pastor to confess his sins and to receive the absolution.
Why is that?
Because it keeps him humble. And it it teaches him how to receive so that he might give to those to whom he is called to preach the gospel.
What about someone who is just honestly worried that the pastor might not keep private and confidential what is divulged in private confession?
Well, and frankly, Todd, there's a lot of reasons that people might fear that. Because in the world today, there's a lot that's coming into the church. You know, there are things that you just, confidentiality only goes so far. And if it's really a serious matter, you may really need to divulge that. Well, in our ordination vows as confessional Lutherans, we promise never to divulge the sins confessed to us. Never. It's called the seal of the confessional. And it's very important that the pastors who are hearing confessions remember their ordination vows. And it's very important that the people to whom they're ministering know what it is that the pastor has pledged himself to, never to divulge the sins, so that they can be absolutely free and assured that their pastor will keep confidential that which he has heard. And that actually empowers them to dare to confess that they might receive the life-giving and comforting word of the gospel.
Another question that came via Earl from Fresno, California, has to do with a different context for private confession and absolution. He asks, should or can we give private confession and absolution to others? And he's speaking there from the perspective of a layperson. Pastor Bender.
His question is, can a layman forgive the sins of someone?
Well, he says, should or can we, and I think he means we lay people, give private confession and absolution to others? How would you answer?
I would answer this way, that all Christians should be willing to hear any brother or sister come to them and confess, and every Christian should be ready to say, for Jesus' sake, your sins are forgiven. Brother, be of good cheer. Having said that, there is an office of the ministry which Christ has instituted, and in that office there is a special obligation that the ministers have to preach the gospel publicly, to confess, to hear confessions, and to speak the absolution publicly. So it's not one or the other, but it's kind of a both and.
So fathers and their children.
Yeah, and especially according to, I'm glad you mentioned that, especially according to a Christian's station in this world, it's incumbent upon Christian fathers to forgive their children. And one of the ways that they encourage living from the gospel in their homes is for fathers to be confessors themselves to their own children, and that they confess their own sins and not be afraid to do it. I went too far. I lost my temper. I lost my patience. Son, forgive me. That's not something that diminishes the father in the eyes of the child. It's actually something that encourages honor and respect. And it also encourages a very lively living from the gospel in the Christian home. And Christians ought to be doing that across the board in their vocation. within family, husbands and wives with each other, parents and children with each other, parents to children, children to parents, and within the Christian congregation, and also outside of the Christian congregation. I think it is very important that Christians communicate God's forgiveness to their co-workers, communicate His compassion, God's compassion, and that love covers a multitude of sins and shortcomings, so that the unbeliever on the outside says, you know, this Christian, there's something different about them. They don't treat me the way the rest of the world treats me. They live from a kind of mercy that I have not encountered before, and it's a mercy that seems to be freely given and unconditionally given, and it is, and it's for Christ's sake. So I think that the practice of private confession and absolution by the pastor and his people helps to encourage that kind of living from the gospel that a Christian does within his station and calling.
Well, when we come back from this break, let's delve a little more deeply into what it means to speak those words that are a confession of sins. See, you know, there's a difference between a confession and an excuse, and we have become greatly skilled at making excuses and thinking somehow we are making confession. And there's a big difference between absolution and affirmation. Absolution, such as, I forgive you your sins in the name of Jesus our Savior, sounds very different from, don't worry about it. It's okay. Forget about it. It was nothing. Those are not necessarily, in fact, those are certainly not absolutions. So why is it so easy for us to say, forget about it, don't worry about it, it's okay, and so very difficult, even, dare I say, painful, for us to say to one another, Christians, brothers and sisters, I forgive you for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We'll be right back after this. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest as we talk about confession and absolution.
Go, my children, with my blessing, never alone.
Go, my children, with my blessing. It's one of the many songs on a new recording titled The Temba Girls with the Aaron Bodie Group. Jazz recording artist Aaron Bodie teamed with the girls' choir in South Africa to produce this new CD. And proceeds from this recording will benefit the Temba Trust, a nonprofit foundation that operates a girls' school and other educational and youth programs that serve South Africa's rural poor. For more information on the Temba Girls with the Aaron Bodie Group, check out our homepage, issuesetc.org. For a $25 donation to LCMS World Relief, you can get a CD with great music and also help South African children. Issuesetc.org, the Temba Girls with the Aaron Bodie Group.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House. Concordia Publishing House has a new Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, first off, what's missing from so many Sunday school curricula?
I think a lot of substance is missing, and quite often Christ is missing in the way that he needs to be taught as Savior from sin, death, and the devil. There might be a mention of Christ. Maybe Christ is a great example. Christ is a good teacher, a moral teacher. But specifically, every week, we're missing often Christ as our Savior from sin and death.
Okay, so that's the sad general state of Sunday school curricula today. So what makes growing in Christ different? How is growing in Christ unique?
I think growing in Christ, we've been very intentional in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us, they get kids in confirmation, that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior. And every story, every week, also connects the child to their life in the family of God. We have liturgy links or worship links. We're intentionally teaching the language of the faith and our faith vocabulary. And where does that come from? From the scriptures, for us as Lutherans, the catechism, and from our hymnal. Those are the ways we express what we believe about God and Christ. And so we want to teach that expression of the faith to our children and raise them up again in this family of God. That's all part of growing in Christ very intentionally. So that a child, every week when they leave, they're certain that though they are a sinner, there is a Savior, Christ Jesus, who has come and done away with sin and death for them.
Are you looking for a truly Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum for your church or Sunday school? Call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask about growing in Christ. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click the logo for more information about this truly Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ, from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Tonight we're talking about confession and absolution. You can join us via email, issuesetc@kfuo.org. You can also give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. I don't want to quibble over words too much here, Pastor Bender, but I think there really is a significant difference between a confession and an excuse and an absolution and affirmation. Why is it so important that we actually confess our sins rather than simply enumerate the things that we have done? Sometimes it can turn into bragging, or it can simply turn into, yes, I did that, did this, and yes, I did, but here are my five reasons why it was justified. Pastor Bender.
Well, confession of sins is the confession of sin that you have committed according to God's law. Take the Ten Commandments and let them be the accusing finger of the heart and conscience and life of the individual, so that in confession you're naming sin according to what God says is sin. You know, if you were to take, you shall not murder, for example, have I taken the life of anyone unjustly, born or unborn? Do I hate anyone? Am I angry with anyone? Do I lose my temper or injure my neighbor by thoughts or words or deeds? Do I hold grudges or harbor resentment? Those kinds of questions. So that when you confess, you're saying, what really troubles me is that I am angry with my neighbor, as opposed to a confession. What really troubles me is my neighbor is a jerk. You know, he's constantly inconsiderate of me and my family, and, you know, I'm really mad at him. Well, sounds like you're rather happy about that. You feel justified in that. And actually, those kinds of things the pastor may want to and should inquire about. Are you confessing your neighbor's sins, or are you confessing your sins? And so a confession of sins is, I'm angry with my neighbor, and it is wrong. He may have hurt me, but God's word says that I should love him, and I find myself not loving him, not forgiving him. So that's kind of the difference between confession and something that's not a confession. And the same thing could be true with the absolution. Absolution is not the pastor saying, that's okay. Okay, Todd, I understand what you're going through. It's all right. It'll be okay. That's not absolution. Absolution is where real sin has been named. The pastor says, Todd, I forgive you. for the sake of Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for your sins. In the case of that story with David and Nathan in the Old Testament, you had exactly that. Sin was named exactly for what it was. David had sinned against the God who loved him, and he finally was drawn out of his rationalization, self-justification as king of Israel to confess, I have sinned, I deserve to die. And then Nathan says, you will not surely die. The Lord has put away your sins. And Nathan could speak that, absolution. You will not die. Even though you deserve to die according to God's law, you will not die because God has put away your sin. And ultimately, he has done that in, for David's sake, the Christ who was to come. The man who died for David was the man who was conceived of the Virgin and who suffered under Pontius Pilate nearly 1,000 years after David made that confession, which shows the power of God's forgiveness. It stretches both backward and forward across human history.
Here's an email. It comes from Paul in Milwaukee. He listens on WRRD. The devil wants to separate us from God, so he works against the believer's private confession. Does he have weapons in his arsenal peculiar to our time? Private confession in practice, in my narrow experience, seems to be on the downgrade. In my Lutheran youth, opportunity for private confession came in required announcements to the pastor of intent to commune. This was done on Thursday before communion Sundays. When pastor left, the announcements left. In several church bodies since, and in some contact with other Protestant bodies, I haven't heard of the announcement practice again. What has changed? I see current reluctance to mention sin at all. Guilt taken over by secular helping professions. A church offers layman consultation at the church front door after the service, but the language of invitation sounds more ambiguous or therapeutic than scriptural, writes Paul. Does Pastor Bender see other contemporary cultural tricks in Satan's bag? Good question, Paul. Pastor Bender?
Well, Paul's comments and question could take 2 hours just to address all of them. I think pastors need to get back to being pastors. And what are they called to do? They're called to preach the Word of God, to teach it, to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim law and gospel, to call sinners to repentance, and to proclaim the forgiveness of sins. They're called to baptize. They're called to forgive sins. They're called to distribute the Lord's Supper. And they're called to judge doctrine, what's true and what's false on the basis of God's Word. Instead, pastors have become everything else. Self-help gurus, psychiatrists and psychologists. Well, self-help gurus and psychiatrists and psychologists may have their place, but that's not what the pastor is called to be. Not what the pastor is called to do. There's only one place where we can hear the forgiveness of sins from God, and that's in the church among Christians. Nowhere else can that message of the gospel be heard. And so if we don't hear it in the church, we're not going to hear it at all. And confession and absolution is at the heart of that proclamation and of the pastor's work. So he needs to keep the main thing as a pastor. I would have to say, from his experience, he says he thinks it's on the waning side, and I think in some respects that's true. On the other hand, there has been, over the last 20 years, a resurgence of private confession and absolution within the Lutheran Church, especially the one that we're affiliated with, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Rana is listening in Palo Alto, California on KFAX. Rana, you've been very patient. Thank you for waiting.
Thank you.
Hi,
you know what? When Jesus was walking the earth as a man, he was trustworthy, and he's trustworthy now. The apostles, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep, care for my sheep. They were trustworthy. They even died for their faith, and they forgave, and I can understand putting trust in them to forgive sins. But the people that we have now, you know, we just don't know what kind of people they are. They can call themselves Christian even if they're pastors. I know one pastor, and he's Protestant denomination, and he'd been a pastor for like 12 years. And then his son said, oh, guess what? My father was born again. You know, and so I really have a problem with these people that are just people and flawed. I mean, they could be worse sinners than me and other people, acting instead of Jesus forgiving sins. It puts so much power into their hands, and the likelihood of abuse is great if they're not people that are trustworthy.
Rana, you raise a very common concern. In fact, I imagine that's probably the most common concern having to do with our subject tonight. Pastor Bender, how do you respond to Rana's legitimate concern? In many ways, it is quite common.
Well, pastors are called to be trustworthy. But what makes the pastor, what gives the pastor authority is not anything from himself, from within himself. It is the word of Christ alone. And yes, Peter was trustworthy, but Peter was also a sinner. And it is the word of Jesus that reinstated Peter to his office after he had denied his Lord three times. It was the word of Jesus that Peter proclaimed, and only by virtue of that word could he be called trustworthy. And it was the word of Jesus that was the power and authority, not anything in Peter, that made Peter's ministry efficacious. And finally, it was the word of Jesus, which was the strength of Peter, that enabled him to suffer persecution and ultimately martyrdom. That's why, Rana, it's really important that pastors who are hearing confessions are themselves penitents who have pastors. We, Todd Wilkin and myself and the Issues Etc. program tonight, are extolling a wonderful gift that Christ has for his church, which is really extolling the need for all of us to have the Word of God proclaimed and ministered to us from outside of ourselves, as David needed from Nathan. And that means that we're not simply speaking to our parishioners or to laymen out there, but we're speaking to ourselves, that we as pastors need pastors just as much as the laity need pastors, if not more so. For if we are not ministered to, we will not be able to minister to. And that's certainly the case with the apostles. They were able to be trustworthy ministers because they had Jesus ministering to them. And Jesus has not left us comfortless, but by his Holy Spirit, working through word and sacrament in the ministers that he has called and sent out today, he still is present, and he's still with us, and he's making his ministers trustworthy.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. 10 more minutes when we come back from this break. Your phone calls and your email after this break, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Pastor John Pless, author of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Word God speaks to us on why God gave us Scripture.
God has given us the Scripture so that we finally hear the Gospel. The Scriptures were inspired by the Holy Spirit to make us wise unto salvation, is what Paul says in 2 Timothy, through faith in Jesus Christ. And so any reading of the Scripture that doesn't come clear on the gospel, which means doesn't come clear on right distinction between law and gospel, is a faulty reading of the Bible. And you know, the problem is not with the Bible. It's not with the clarity of the Bible. The Bible is clear. The problem is with ourselves, with what we bring to the Scripture.
You'll find the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Word God Speaks to Us, at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
The message is the mission. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What do? You point out a false teaching or a sinful behavior, and your friend responds, "Judge not, lest you be judged," or, "He who is without sin cast the first stone." How do you respond? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the Next Issues Etc. journal titled Get Out of Jail Free, and we'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. The latest issue also contains an article titled The Jesus of Islam by Dr. Adam Francisco. And in the Wittenberg Trail, you'll discover how a struggle with sin brought Pastor Jonathan Fisk back home to the Reformation. 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. Ask for a free complimentary copy of the Issues Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. We're talking about confession and absolution tonight on Issues Etc. We have several resources on confession and absolution posted under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and he is director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Briefly, Pastor, would you tell us about the Concordia Catechetical Academy?
Well, the Concordia Catechetical Academy was started 14 years ago. It's an auxiliary of our congregation, simply dedicated to faithful Lutheran catechesis throughout the country, our own congregation and beyond. We produce catechetical materials for use in congregations by pastors, and we also host an annual symposium in June. This year it's June 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Why Being Lutheran Matters, and we have our website at peacesussex.org /CCA for more information.
By the way, folks, you can get there by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Along the left-hand side of our homepage, you'll see our links. Click on that, and you'll find a direct link to Pastor Peter Bender and the Concordia Catechetical Academy, issuesetc.org. Let's talk with Mary, who's listening in St. Louis on KSIV. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Hello, Mary.
Hi. Well, I have kind of a two-part question. The first is with regard to the scripture where Jesus says to his disciples, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive. They are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." And I think that's where the Catholic Church gets their practice of putting it sort of in the hands of the priest and making it an official one-on-one situation. And then, on the other hand, in 1 John 1, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So isn't that the latter sufficient?
Thank you very much, Mary. It's a great question. Let's deal with her first question first, and that is, what does Christ mean when he says not only if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven, but when he says in the same breath, if you retain the sins of any, they are retained?
It's what we traditionally call the binding and loosing key. Loosing is forgiving. Binding is withholding forgiveness. And he is speaking to the ministers there, the apostles there, and who are charged with withholding forgiveness from the manifestly impenitent, those who refuse to repent of their sins. The second part of her question, and that's an important work, and we do that in the proclamation of God's law all of the time. We're binding people to their sins that they might see the seriousness of their sin and be brought to repentance so that we might proclaim the gospel and loose them from their sins. The second part, she asked, isn't that sufficient in the 1 John passage? You know, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive. And as I said in the earlier part of our conversation, we don't need to pit those two things against each other. It's not one or the other. It's a both and kind of a situation. If in your prayers you confess your sins and you, on the basis of that passage, know that Christ's forgiveness is for you. You have been baptized into the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and your conscience is comforted by that gospel and the promise. God be praised. If, on the other hand, you've confessed your sins, you've said your prayers privately, and still your conscience plagues you, still the devil is after you. Well, then you have the wonderful treasure of private confession and absolution, where you can speak your confession into the ear of one whom Christ himself has called both to hear your confession and to proclaim his word to you. And then after you've confessed, you hear that man stand up and say, Todd, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. Todd, there is therefore now no condemnation, for you are in Christ Jesus. And when you have named your sin specifically, that specific ugly sin which has so troubled you, and then your pastor, having heard it, speaks Christ's absolution, it is a powerful word. And sometimes that is necessary in order to quiet the conscience and to give true and lasting comfort.
Here's Nate listening on KLGO in Austin, Texas. Hi, Nate.
Todd, Pastor Bender.
Hi.
Maybe you've already covered this and I missed it, but if a friend comes to me and confesses that there's a sin with which they've been struggling, and I then speak to them words of forgiveness, that I speak to them from Scripture where Christ has promised to forgive us our sins. Am I performing absolution and stepping outside of my bounds, or I should say vocation, or is that not a form of absolution?
Nate, you have asked a very good question. Pastor Bender, how would you respond?
The gospel is the gospel regardless of who speaks it. When Paul says, forgive one another in Colossians and in Ephesians, as God in Christ has forgiven you, that is something that is central to all Christians, both pastors who are in the office of the ministry and the laity. So the forgiveness that you speak for Jesus' sake to a brother who has confided in you and is in need of the comfort of the gospel is not a different forgiveness that I speak for Jesus' sake. The difference lies simply in the office, and why is the office important? Well, the office is important because it's the office that Christ has established for his church, through which he intends to give his gospel and to give his sacraments, and that we might have a place that we can come and receive and be strengthened in our faith, So it is important. It's also important because those whom he has called and ordained into those offices, God willing, have been trained and fitted by Christ through his church to handle the issues that a penitent might be bringing to the confessional that perhaps a layman is not able to handle, and that can be a difference. But as far as the essential word of the gospel that is spoken, the word of the gospel is the word of the gospel, regardless of who speaks it.
Finally, then, with only 1 minute, in fact, less than a minute, Pastor Bender, it's so easy for us to view this as obligation, burden, duty. If you would, talk about confession and absolution as part and parcel of the free gift of God's grace, which is from God to us and is ours in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Just about a minute to respond.
When we speak of private confession and absolution, we should put the emphasis on the absolution. That's why we confess, that we might hear the voice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who desires more than anything else to take us in his arms and to forgive us our sin, to comfort us with the fact that he has shed his blood for us, that he knows our sins, he knows our needs, even better than we know them ourselves. And still, he's died for us, he shed his blood for us, and he speaks this wonderful and comforting word that created our faith, and a word that continues to strengthen our faith and to comfort us and to make us children of the gospel.
Here's our mailing address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Our resource line number is 1-800-737-1717.
1-800-273-0172. Now, you can use either of those to receive a free complimentary copy of the Next Issues Etc. journal. You can also use those to make a tax-deductible gift to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. For any size gift during this last remaining week of the Easter season, we'll send you interviews on the Passion and the Resurrection of Christ. Our address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. And our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. Any size gift is deeply appreciated. Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Pastor Bender, thank you very much for your time this evening.
You're welcome, Todd. It's been a pleasure being with you again.
The famous quote from Luther on confession and absolution, of course, is, "When I say that you should go to confession, I am simply telling you to be a Christian." This is what has bound us for all eternity in a relationship of peace and reconciliation to our Heavenly Father, the forgiveness of sins. This is what Jesus was all about. He came, as St. Paul says, to save sinners, and he saves sinners by forgiving sinners their sins. It didn't just happen in the Old Testament. It didn't just happen there at the cross. That is all the basis of our absolution, our forgiveness. It is brought forward by the same crucified and risen Jesus to sinners here today, sinners like you, sinners like me, so that we might hear Christ speak again and again those words for which he bled and died and rose again. I forgive you all your sins. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.